This is 90.7 FM WGXE Agra, Hudson Catskill, the station that everyone loves.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Julia Jorn of Round Top, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Okay, here we are. You're listening to Foraging Ahead on WGXC.
I'm Kevin Factor, and you just heard Eric Fixler stepping in. He's in the studio with me, a dear friend and occasional personal rabbi. And
very bad one, I might add.
How would I know?
Much as I'm stepping in this evening, I will always step in whenever you need me, Kevin. I'm here. I'm here for you.
I appreciate that. And I'm here for you as well.
Oh. Within reason.
Within reason, yes. So tonight, we're coming up on Passover.
We sure are.
We're coming up on Passover.
3 weeks from now, and we're not going to be on the air again before then.
No. We're going to be...
Last chance.
Yeah, so I thought we would explore Passover. Just do not a deep dive, but not a shallow dive either.
Yeah, the kind of dive where you might hit your head at the bottom of the pool, but where you won't die. That's what we're aiming for.
We're aiming not to kill anybody.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Or ourselves.
Or to part the Red Sea.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not gonna be doing that. So, for our Gentile audience, what is Passover? Passover is a very significant holiday, and I know everybody's heard about it and has some sense of it. But
let's say for all of our listeners,
I'll say
two things. I've never been super comfortable with the bucketing of many people in the universe into the term Gentile.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like all of the people on Earth who are not Jewish think of themselves as being a thing, firstly. Secondly, many people who even are Jewish might not know a lot about Passover, so let's just speak for everyone.
Speak for me.
So, well, let's start with the name of the holiday, Passover.
Mm-hmm.
We have actually some good songs about Passover coming up later. So many people might know. This is funny because it kind of spins into a detail in the holiday, but Passover, So Passover is the story of the liberation of the Jews from slavery in Egypt. So according to the story in the Torah, the Jews went down to Egypt. Jacob's son, starting with Joseph, went down, brought their families to Egypt because of a drought and famine. Egypt was a technologically advanced country back in the day. I'm not saying anything about Egypt now. That probably sounded a little bit like I was implying something I was not intending to.
No, but they got a big jump on the Bronze Age.
They did. They had things like grain storage. They had the Nile. All of Egypt's arable land is close to the Nile. And the Nile floods and irrigates the lands around us. Anyway, they went down to Egypt for food, and they brought their families, they brought the whole tribe, everything, and they were there for a number of years, 400 years, I believe, is what the Torah says.
That's a number.
That's a number. And during that time, they were conscripted into slavery by the pharaohs. And there's really no historical record or archaeological record of this, but the story is that the Jews did things like built the pyramids and did other big civic projects for Egypt. Probably were one of numerous peoples who sojourned into Egypt at that time. So Passover is the story of the Jews led by Moses getting out of Egypt and getting out of slavery and moving back into the land of Israel and kicking out the people who were there at that time and establishing their own kingdom. So part of this story is the story of the 10 plagues.
Mm.
So as the story goes, Pharaoh had magicians. The magicians could do things. They could do really impressive tricks. So Moses shows up. You know, Moses is known in Jewish theological whatever as the only person in history who could speak directly to God, face to face.
Really?
Probably is a little too early for that. But anyway, so, you know, God tells Moses to go and do, like, your own signs to show the Egyptian magicians that, you know, that Hebrew God can kick butt on their God. And, you know, eventually, like, just if you see that our God's more powerful than your God, you're going to eventually let us go. So the 10 plagues is like, keeps doing plagues. They keep, like, escalating.
What's your favorite plague?
Well, let's just skip ahead to the one that the name Passover comes from.
Oh.
I mean, I think locusts is probably the coolest plague. But the last plague, the final one, because, like, the Egyptians are stubborn. They won't let the Jews out. So they keep on escalating. Darkness, like, lice, like, all this stuff.
Frogs.
And then the last one is the killing of the firstborn.
Yeah, that's cold.
So it's also always really interesting in any religion thing, like the kind of details that your God doesn't necessarily know. So God is going to send the angel of death out to kill all the firstborns. Now, the angel of death knows who the firstborns are, but cannot distinguish between the Egyptian ones and the Jewish ones. Like, doesn't know which.
Yeah, that always kind of, like,
it's kind of funny.
It's like, either be omniscient or not.
Yeah, it's the pre-logical mind is a very interesting construct that is, I think, a little bit hard for us to really tap into. You know, people have said that before the Greeks, there was essentially no formal logic and narratives didn't really have to make sense. I don't know to what, I can't even imagine it, so I don't know to what extent it's true or not. But in any event, the Hebrew name for Passover is Pesach. The Paschal Lamb.
Uh-huh.
So before the Passover, the Israelites sacrifice a lamb. They paint the they paint their doorway. What do you call the frame of the doorway? What is it?
The lintel?
I guess so. Yeah, the lentil soup. The lentil with the blood of the lamb.
Mm.
And thus the angel of death knows to pass over that residence and to not slay the firstborn. And after that, yes, as you can imagine, that gets some notice, gets more notice than the frogs and the boils and the darkness.
Yeah, frogs are very unimpressive.
Depends how many frogs, right?
Well, I mean, we're going to get the peepers out here pretty soon. There's
the
a lot of frogs.
Peepers are out here. Yeah. I love the peepers. Yeah. I love the peepers.
All right.
But anyway, that's where the name Passover comes from. And then
so
after
the angel
that,
of death passed over the Hebrew children.
Passed over the Hebrew children, and then the next day, the Egyptians are freaking out, and they say, you and your Israelites, get the F out of town. Do it before we change our minds. You have, like, a day to pack up all your crap and get out of here. So that's why. No. So that's why they're in such a rush.
Right.
So they can't. They need to make provisions for their trip. They don't have enough time to let the bread rise, so they make flat bread, matzah, which is the major part of the holiday, which is both eating the flat bread, the unleavened bread, the matzah, the crackers, essentially. Mm-hmm. And this whole notion in Passover that leavening is like rising and puffing up and like connecting it with pride. Like Passover is a holiday where you don't get into pride. You keep it simple. You keep it lean. You don't like puff up your chest or anything like that.
It's a humility. It's a exercise in humility. It's interesting. I mean, historically speaking, I believe the Egyptians were one of, if not the first people to brew beer and make bread. Like, they're both related in that they require yeast, you know, and fermentation.
So I guess one also has to wonder if maybe the matzah is sort of like the pre-Egyptian bread, and maybe there's some connection there too. But I honestly have
I don't know. I mean, the story is good. Yeah, you know, well, we got to go. Come on, we can't wait. Yeah. You know, but they knew ahead of time that they wouldn't have to wait, so they didn't even bother putting yeast in the dough.
Yeah, I mean, once they knew they had to leave, they knew they had to leave in a hurry.
Okay, so they pack up their things.
Yeah,
and they hit the road.
And
Moses leads them.
Moses leads them.
Right, and they go out into the desert. Right, and
well, because Egypt is primarily a desert country, was and is.
And he goes up onto the mountain. Right?
Eventually.
I mean, this is not... Is that?
Well, first we have the parting of the Red Sea.
Oh, the parting of the Red Sea. Yeah. That was a good one, right?
So the parting of the Red Sea is, okay, so remember the Egyptians are like, you know, get out of here. Like, they're super emotional because all their firstborns have died, which is totally reasonable. And then, like, you know, a day or two later, Pharaoh's like, what am I doing?
Well, their labor's all gone.
Yeah. He's like, all right, it's like, forget it. Like, we're bringing you guys back.
Mm.
And again, like, story doesn't quite... I suppose add up, because at the end of the day, if you march to the edge of the sea, like, what were you really planning on?
Faith. He had faith. Yeah. I mean, that's it, you know.
So the Jews march to the edge of the Red Sea. The pharaonic armies are coming to chase them down, to either kill them or bring them back. The Red Sea parts. The Jews cross over on land. The Egyptians follow. The sea unparts. The Egyptians perish. Exactly. That was good. That was good Foley.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Mm. So, yeah.
Okay.
It seems like people had very short memories back then. You know, like...
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going against a guy whose God can do all these things, you know, frogs, locusts, death of the firstborn, everything like that, you're like, all right, well, let them go. Otherwise, it's going to get better. But, you know, whatever. Humans are we have selective recall, certainly.
Here we are in a time where we, a few weeks ago, many of us would have said there will never be a land war in Europe.
True.
How could there be a land war in Europe? And yet here we are.
True.
Land war in Europe. And just today, yesterday, Holocaust Memorial is destroyed in a land war in Europe. So, yeah, we human beings, if nothing else, are good at kind of repeating the same stupid things over and over again. So maybe it's – they say in the Torah, history is not important. What's important is that you have a moral or ethical lesson, that the story teaches you something. So, yes, maybe part of what is being taught here is the folly – of humanity and our inability to persistently learn lessons, or to believe that, like, no matter to believe that what we think is fixed and correct, no matter how much evidence we see that it might not actually be correct.
That's why you're my personal rabbi.
Yeah. I try.
But one more little thing on I guess the Exodus. The Exodus is sort of long. It's like 40 years, right? Something like that. They wander around the desert. There's manna from heaven.
So the 40 years is a punishment.
Yeah, for the golden calf.
Correct.
Right? So Moses says, I'm paraphrasing here, right? So Moses says, hang on, I got to go up this mountain and talk to God for a little bit. You guys hang out. I'll be right back. Right, and he goes up.
I'm right back, and I'm going to tell you, like, what you need to know to live a good life.
Mm-hmm.
In the eyes,
right.
Of
and he's gonna. He brought. The, he's gonna. Yeah. And he goes. So he goes up there, and I mean, how long is he up there? A few
I think
days.
I think it's 40 days.
Oh, he's up there for a while.
He's. I think so. Yeah.
All right.
Unfortunately, as a rabbi, I'm a little poor because I'm not super current and I get confused about things. But yeah, I believe so. He's up there for a while.
Okay, so I thought it was just like for a couple of days.
I don't think so.
Got slow. Or maybe it takes a while for him to understand.
Yeah, it probably takes a while to get to the place like where you can have that encounter with a deity, right? It's a non-simple thing. Not like you just, you know, show up off the street and, like, you know, you're all dirty and you've been running from the Egyptians. Yeah. You need a little while to get into the right.
No,
head.
Fair enough. I mean, and what deity worth his salt would, you know, be, like, with you in a minute?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Exactly. It's funny because, I was just listening to something about Lorne Michaels on Saturday Night Live. And not his deity, but I guess one of the things that he's known for is whenever you have an appointment with him, he makes you wait for hours.
Really?
So it was an interview by Marc Maron with Sarah J., who's a writer and comedian. And she was saying, you know, when she – her first meeting with Lauren Green, when she was hired for the job, he made her wait for something like 3 hours.
Right.
If Lauren Green's going to make you wait 3 hours
– guy can wait 30 days, 40 days.
Exactly, No, Lauren Michaels, not Lauren Green. Lauren Green is Bonanza, sorry.
Yeah, Lauren Green is
– they're the only two Laurens I know.
He's with his maker.
He's with his maker.
Yeah.
With the maker. Yeah.
He might have a different one.
Yeah.
So then – Yeah, so then Moses goes up, you know, for a lot longer than I thought. I thought it was like 48 hours.
And, you know, Moses is punished too in this case. Like, okay, Moses' punishment.
Yeah, but he's punished. He's up there, right? And these people have seen all of this stuff. You've seen the 10 plagues, the frogs, you know, not impressive, but, you know, nonetheless, they couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't summon frogs. They saw the parting of the Red Sea, the drowning of Pharaoh's army, right? And they can't wait. You know, and they start, they make this golden calf, and they start dancing around this golden calf.
They think that they are going to starve in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
They think that their leader has disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they have been essentially brought there to die. So I suppose this is like, yes, they have little faith.
Yep, yeah.
As soon as that cadence of like a miracle every day ends.
Right.
They're like,
what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's also interesting to me always that another one of these like narrative things that's a little hard to parse is they're obviously carrying a lot of gold. So they're poor slaves. I guess it makes sense to carry your valuables when you leave Egypt, but they collect all their gold from everyone, from all their jewelry and stuff, and they melt it down and turn it into a calf, which is a...
You ball
know, deity of some sort, yes.
Canaanite,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Then they have a good old time, and Moses comes down, and boy is he mad. He's mad. He's really angry. Mm-hmm.
And he comes down with the stone tablets. With the stone tablets that have
10 commandments.
The 10, which aren't, you know, in Hebrew, it's dibrot. It's not actually commandments. It's more like sayings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The commandment things is a little overly.
So how do you get to be commandments?
I mean, to be fair, I suppose they are very much worded like commandments. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very binary. They're like, you know, do this, don't
do they
do
like
this.
Suggestions your boss makes?
Yeah, they're not.
They're really suggestions.
Yeah, not really. Exactly. Exactly. Don't kill anyone. Don't steal. Don't sleep with your neighbor's wife. Stuff
don't
like
even
that.
Covet your neighbor's wife.
Covet. Sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
And there's like 5 of them that are about like.
Behavior.
That are, well, like half of them are. Behaviors towards God and half of them are behaviors towards other people.
Mm-hmm.
Moses gets really angry. He smashes the tablets.
Oh, he smashes them.
And for this, he is punished.
Oh, for smashing the tablets.
For losing his cool.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And for this, he does not get to finish the trip.
Okay, so that makes it clear. So Moses was punished for losing his cool.
Yeah, which is also, I think, very, it's interesting, at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, the Israelites basically seem like a middle school class to me.
Correct.
And I have, you know, I think a wise person once told me, if you find yourself in an argument with a 3-year-old, you've already lost.
Fair.
And
if they're coming out of 400 years of slavery, perhaps the... expectation is that they, how could they possibly know they're in like, now, so not only are they not slaves, but now their leader is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, they are, I guess, in a way you could say,
they're a little
third
panicky.
Graders.
Little panicky, All right. So, historically, how long has Passover been celebrated? Do you know, like,
it's a good question.
A couple thousand years, you think?
At least. Yeah. I know that. There's a book. It's called of Passover, the Seder, the Order of Passover, that describes the ritual, and the ritual is a combination of, like, doing things that tell the story of Passover, mm-hmm. having some props and physical artifacts that symbolize parts of the story, telling some songs. This, at the newest, was begun to compose, I believe, sometime around 300, the year 300 in the Common Era. As, like, in that era,
it's the first Haggadah.
So there's just like there's a vague. I believe that the oldest Haggadahs that we know of are from around the year 1000. Mm-hmm. There probably are older ones. It's also, again, like, not what I can tell you is this. I can tell you that the holiday mm-hmm. comes from the Torah, so it's an old holiday. It was celebrated in the time of ancient Israel. It was one of the in the Jewish religion. There are three holidays called the three legs, the three regalim in Hebrew. And these were the three holidays that people were meant to make pilgrimage to Jerusalem and make sacrifices.
Oh, okay.
And then after the temple was destroyed, these holidays became the holidays, like, on the road to where we were today, to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how these were celebrated right after that, but after the Second Temple was destroyed and Jews no longer had a country, eventually they got to this period around, like, 200, 300, 400 of the Common Era, where they started to write things down. That was when they started to write down the order of the Passover holiday. But I know some of the specifics, like the Dayenu song.
Mm-hmm.
That was first, I believe the authorship of that is a rabbi named Amram Gaon. Gaon means great rabbi.
Ooh.
He was in Babylonia in the 10th century, around, like, 950 or 975. And I believe, like, the authorship date of that particular song is established. So we can probably infer, and probably people know way better than me, that, you know, over the course of this time, like many of these books, like, it was being composed and mm-hmm. added to. Probably mm-hmm. things were falling away, things were changing, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. But it's certainly an old holiday and an old tradition that's still evolving. A lot of people, you know, like to make Haggadahs that are relevant, and certainly the story of liberation and freedom changes all the time.
Yeah, well, it's a constant theme in human life,
yeah.
Personal and collective.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, people might not know what Haggadah is. It's kind of the script.
Haggadah means, like, it comes from the Hebrew root word lahagid, to tell.
Okay.
It's like the telling.
Yeah.
It's like literally the telling. It's a story.
What I liked about the few Passovers I've been to is it's basically it's a script that you follow.
Yeah, exactly.
And you go, it takes you through the meal.
Exactly.
Which never seems to actually get to food. Mm. So while we're on it, let's play Dayenu.
Okay.
I'll cue it up.
Okay.
A little bit about the song.
Okay, so this is a really cool version of Dayenu. It's from an artist from Montreal called So-Called. And what So-Called does is he's a clarinet player originally, and he's also really into rap music. And he does this music that's a combination of sort of Jewish theatrical and klezmer music and things like rap, kind of contemporarizing it. That's not a word. He's super cool.
And Dayenu, what does it mean?
Dayenu means it's enough for us.
It's enough for
us. There's a long song. I know, because I don't know if anyone really believes that, but there's, like, a big song about that.
It's like good enough for government work.
No, it's more like, you know, if God only it would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
Like, if he, you know, would have let us out of Egypt, but didn't
give
us the Sabbath.
And you get a car. And you get a car.
Yeah, stuff like that. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. All right.
So here's So-Called with Dayenu.
I'll put it up.
Drink. We're closed. Nice people don't drink on Pesach. They go to the synagogue.
And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm with a great terribleness.
Dayenu,
I always love it when there's flutes. So yeah, that's probably the most well-known Passover song. Everyone knows that one.
Well, not that particular version.
No, but that dying.
That's a pretty rocking. That's a pretty rocking.
Yeah,
interesting.
Great record. Great record.
What, and what's the title of it?
I think it's the so-called Seder.
The so-called Seder.
Has a really good picture on it of a turntable with like a matzah, like a round matzah on it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Matzah being the flatbread we were discussing earlier.
Yeah. Is there any good matzah? Is it?
I think so.
Some people don't eat matzah except on Passover. Is that correct?
Well, so there's a kind of... There's an interesting aspect to the Passover holiday where for people who are observant, you not only... Like, you get all of the leavened stuff out of your house, all of the bread. You collect it all. We were talking about this earlier. You go around your house with a feather and a candle.
A feather and a candle.
And you find it all.
I've done that, but not for that.
Yeah. Hey, everyone's got their own habits. And there's also a ritual of, like, selling your leavened stuff to someone else so they really hold it for you temporarily. But people use a whole different set of dishes in their house. So I don't know. I think there are people who don't eat matzah except on Passover. You definitely don't eat like anything breadish or anything that might have bread in it or anything that might bring you into contact with
no
bread
beer
or anything leavened. No beer.
No distilled spirits. Wine.
Wine you can drink.
Yeah, but there's fermentation in that, right?
There's not yeast in it though.
Yeah, how do you think it gets fermented?
I don't know.
Bacon soda? No, man. Yeah. It's
Yeah, I don't know, but you drink
wine.
That's
a weird carve-out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you can't really carve wine out of any Jewish holiday. I mean, wine is critical to every Jewish holiday.
Yeah.
In fact, it's critical to the ceremonies of Passover. You drink 4 glasses of wine. And so a lot of that Passover...
Now, is it like, symbolic of blood or no?
Let's get there in a second.
All right.
So, you know, a lot of Passover holiday is like you're supposed to just be very different. So it's like what's different about...
Why is tonight like different from...
Yeah, and one of them is like on a normal night, you would have 1 glass of wine, and on this night, you would have 4 glasses of wine.
Nice.
So I don't know, broadly speaking, wine is used to symbolize blood a little bit during the Passover Seder. There's, I guess, just like a part of it where you read off the 10 plagues, and you take a little... dip of the wine with your pinky and kind of like spread it out with your pinky, but I guess that's all 10 plagues. So I don't know, maybe it's
all
not
10 plagues.
All 10 plagues, not just the blood, it's all of them.
Yeah. Do you want to listen to a Ten Plagues song?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. I think it's a kid's song.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Ten Plagues.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. Blood in the water made the river run red.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
Pharaoh should have listened to what God said.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. Frogs were jumping in Pharaoh's hair.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
Pharaoh didn't like it, but the frogs didn't care.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. Creepy, crawly, itchy lice.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
Mess with the holy one, you better think twice.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. Filthy flies so dirty and vile.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
Not exactly Pharaoh style.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. The cattle and the horses and the oxen died.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
I won't give up, old Pharaoh cried.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. Boils and blisters on his skin.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
Give it up, Pharaoh, you're never gonna win.
10 plagues in Egypt land.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 plagues in Egypt land. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
All right. Well, I kind of get the point of that song.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of got a little repetitive.
Yeah, this is the kind of song that you're really enthusiastic about when you're five. And then
I don't even think you're that enthusiastic about it when you're five. I think you're enthusiastic about it for about 5 minutes when you're five. And then,
it sounded better when I previewed it. Yeah. I mean, it's a nice song. It's good for kids. Yeah. I was just waiting to get to the murdering of the firstborn son. How are they going to fit that into a jaunty tune?
It's an interesting question. It's also an interesting question because, yeah, that's the kind of thing that seems like would really make children nervous.
It would have made me nervous.
Yeah.
Had I known about it.
I can't really remember what it felt like to hear about that the first time. I
mean, now, is it firstborn or firstborn son?
Firstborn son. I mean, I'm not trying to sound cynical or anything, but I think
that was kind of. Yeah.
I've actually never known if the male is the second born person of the family, like how that fits into that framework. I don't know if firstborn son has to be born first. But yes, like things were a little bit more, let's say, patriarchal back in the day.
Yeah, even more than now.
Even more than now.
Yeah.
Things are still pretty patriarchal. Mm-hmm. But
Interesting things about Passover that people might not know, and then we'll move on to another Passover song that you turned me on to, which is a lot of fun.
Okay.
Afikomen.
Afikomen. Okay. So Afikomen is connected with one of the sacrifice rituals of the Passover holiday. I guess this is, so like you said, the Passover Seder can be
so that when you take the Christian babies. No, different one.
No,
okay,
no.
Sorry.
You know, the thing is, there might be people out there who believe that stuff, so I don't want to dog whistle.
WGXC has a very, very, very well informed.
I believe that like anyone with the radio can hear it, and I don't want to. You know, you never. Not even that. It's not about the people. It's about What if someone only hears you for like 2 seconds?
Fair enough. Okay. I'm joking.
Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be sensitive
about that. No. It's totally okay. Fine. Totally fine.
Anyway, so like you said, the Seder is pretty long. It can be a little challenging for the youngins.
Not as long as that song.
That song was long. Okay, so here's what you do. You basically take a piece of matzah.
Take a piece of matzah.
And one of the adults hides it.
Huh.
And then at some point in the evening, the kids have to find it, or the kids go to find it, and the person who finds it gets a present or a prize. And I do have to say, I've always been shocked at how entertained the youngins, even the not so youngins, are by this.
Yeah.
It's always been a really fun part of the Seder. It's better than it sounds.
No, it sounds awesome.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, Easter egg hunts, I mean, finding things, you know.
It's like an Easter egg hunt, but it's not chocolate. It's like it's a very Jewish thing. It's not chocolate. It's like it's unleavened bread.
You're lucky you have any food, right?
And that is, and the afikoman is like the dessert of the, it's like the official dessert of the Seder, even though you usually always have some other kind of dessert. But it's somehow,
really?
It marks the end of the meal.
Oh, yeah, the end of the meal. Okay, Yeah.
So... Okay, so going on to our next song.
Yeah.
So as you know, one of my favorite genres of music is roots reggae music, and one of the things about roots reggae music is it tends to be very inspired by the Torah. A lot of common themes around
we got
slavery,
a lot of reggae.
Liberation, things like that. So this is a song by the Congos from Jamaica. I want to say late 70s, maybe early 80s. At the feast. And let's hear a little Jamaican song about Passover.
Together, yeah.
Oh, all right. We got a phone call.
We got a phone call. This is WGXC. We can't pick up the phone right now, caller. But if you want to call us back when we're off the air, or if anybody else wants to call us back with any kind of questions or comments or anything, our phone number here is 518-828-0290. I'll say it one more time, 518-828-0290. But caller, give us a couple minutes. My name is Eric Fixler.
I'm Kevin Factor.
And this is Forging Ahead on, what is today? Today is Sunday, March 26th,
yep,
2022. And I'll let you know that Passover starts. It's a little whiles away yet. It's Friday, April 15th is the first night of Passover. And I did look ahead of time to see what publicly available Passover seders, that's the Passover meal, were available. I didn't really come up with a lot, but...
So there's a, like there is a public, there are is it often public
yeah,
Passover?
I think this is a normal thing to have in like synagogues or Jewish community centers for people who either aren't familiar, they don't have like a family event, or it's a lot of work. It can be a lot of work to do all of the ritual stuff, or who don't know, whatever it is, but mm-hmm. it's always nice to be with people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not an uncommon thing. The only one I could find in the area was at Rhinebeck Jewish Center, and there are two seders there, Friday, April 15th at 7 p.m., and the second seder, outside of Israel, there are two seders. In Israel, there's only one seder. Saturday, April 16th at 8:30 p.m. at Rhinebeck Jewish Center, and you can check their website at rhinebeckjewishcenter.org for more info.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Fantastic, yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting. I've only been to a few, to be honest. Like you said,
it's my favorite. I think it's my favorite Jewish holiday.
Yeah,
the funnest Jewish holiday.
Yeah, more than Christmas.
More than Christmas.
Yeah.
I can't stop.
I can't stop. So, okay, the thing that I always thought was interesting was about Passover was. The extra chair and table setting at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
It's funny that you mentioned Christmas because this has to do with the Messiah.
Yeah.
So the Messiah is the belief that, you know, there's going to be an era when everything's going to be right, when instead of having wars and oppression and poverty and misery, there's just going to come a day where everything's going to get set right, and we're going to have utopia on Earth. And the
soon,
yes,
soon.
You know, if for people who are very observant Jews, it's part of the daily prayers and saying, like you say, actually, the song about Elijah says in Hebrew, like. Bimhera biyamenu yavo elenu, which means quickly in our time, like he should get here, like we need him already. So, yeah, I mean, I can't really say that that's something that animates me personally, but I think the opposite is also true for...
Well, I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing to have an extra setting for somebody who's not there.
But wait, let me get there. So... So Elijah is supposed to be the harbinger of the Messiah. So Elijah was a prophet,
from
an ancient Jewish Israeli prophet, whatever we want to call him. And yes, the way that the way the scriptures go is that before the Messiah comes, Elijah will come. So you try to get Elijah to come by setting a place setting for him, and then traditionally at some point and you leave wine out for him. And at some point in the Seder, you open the door and sing a song to let him in.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's
it's like I said, there are some things that I wish I really believed in because I think they're really beautiful, and it's unfortunate to be kind of a cynical or rational person, but I think being animated by that notion that we're trying to bring about the conditions to bring about the utopian messianic era, that's actually kind of cool to wake up in the morning and think that you have a purpose in life to get to that. I appreciate it. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
And this is like the, yeah. I mean, there's probably more than one, but this is certainly, I think, the holiday of the year where it's like it's most present in the Jewish calendar.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and welcoming people into your home and yeah. feeding
that's
them.
That's another thing you're always supposed yeah. to do on Passover is anybody. That's a part of the, like, formal ceremony is at the beginning you say, you know, anyone who's hungry is welcome to come and eat with us. And it's always something you're supposed to do in your Passover Seder is, just, you know, invite, you know, not let, a little bit like how we do Thanksgiving, too. You're not supposed mm-hmm. to let anybody, you know, go without having a place to be on Passover.
Nice, nice. All right, so we're gonna shift gears little bit.
We are.
We're gonna see what Andy Williams has to say about this holiday.
I just want to apologize. The views expressed in this upcoming song are not necessarily the views of WGXC, its board members, or its supporters.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me. And walk this lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong.
Oh, Andy Williams. I don't know. How did he get in on the action? I don't know. That's epic, epic music. Okay, we're going to shift over to something a little bit more exciting, a little more interesting. We're going to head back to so-called...
What is it, my child?
Daddy, what's going on here? Why is everybody singing? And how come the table is set with mustard instead of bread?
The Seder for the four questions. Daddy. This is his version of the
why
four questions.
Why is this night different from all other nights? Why?
Hang on here, and we'll count to four.
The first time in Dortmund.
quarter. The second time, you cut Carlos.
Especially at ease.
Why is this night different from all other nights? Why is this night different from all other nights?
Why is this night different? My son, I'll tell you why. It's an old, old story. So sad, you'll want to cry.
At the conclusion of the four questions, all assembled at the festive table recite the history of the liberation of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage.
So I just want to mention, I do want to mention one thing that he mentions in that track, and I forget exactly how it was phrased now, but you're supposed to recline. So there's like a lot of things that you're supposed to do to really act things out, and one of them is that since you've been liberated from slavery, you're supposed to be super chill. So you're not supposed to be like sitting upright in a chair.
Really?
You're supposed to be like on the ground in pillows or reclining is I think the translation. So like you rarely see it because it's one of those things where, you know, like a lot of the most rad things of the traditions are like tend to get whited out. Like, you know, for example, you know, you're supposed to forgive loans every 7 years.
Oh, I love that. The Jubilee.
Yeah, well, Jubilee's every maybe I'm having it wrong. Every 7 years you're supposed to have a sabbatical where, like, you don't work the land at all, where you just let the land lie fallow, right? And every, like, on the 50th year, the 7th Jubilee, you forgive loans.
It
and
just,
you
like,
also
resets
are
everything.
Supposed to return land to its original owner. So you're supposed to actually, like, reset land distribution, but, like, that stuff never happens. But, yeah, but you're supposed to recline because you're free. And you can do that. So I just like that. And it was mentioned in the song.
That you're reclining.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. See?
I
always learn something when I talk to you, Eric.
Amazing. And yeah. I always learn something from you, Kevin.
So, the story of Moses and the liberation is, it's been repurposed and retold through human history, right? I mean,
correct.
It's such a important story, and it's enduring.
Well, Exodus, that Exodus song that we heard, it's not about Passover.
No.
It's about the modern state of Israel, and I know that's probably a little bit more, let's say, nuanced and potentially controversial.
The Andy Williams song?
The Andy Williams song
really?
is about...
I was just caught up in fantastic upswelling music, and it was so moving.
It's very sensual.
It is. It's very sensual.
It's like sensual while being cheesy at the same time, which
sensual
is, kind of works.
Being beat over the head with a 2x4. Yeah, I don't know.
That's sensual. I mean, you beat me over the head with a 2x4. I'm gonna feel it.
Yeah,
I am gonna feel it.
I felt it too. So, gosh, we're almost out of time. This has just flown by. It's flown by. I mean,
it's amazing.
And look, they've got the golden calf up already.
I know. We gotta go.
Well, we don't have to go. But we're gonna. There's so many fabulous songs that have been inspired by this story. Obviously, the African American experience and those enslaved people in the New World. Picked up on that, and they, you know, it is so part of the American experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna leave off with a couple of tunes.
Fabulous.
And
tell us what you're leaving us off with.
Sorry, I'm gonna Wade in the Water by the Staple Singers, and then if little time, Exodus by the incomparable Bob Marley.
Incomparable, cool. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Thanks for
coming. It's really a pleasure to be here in the studio at WGXC Community Radio in Hudson, Accra, all over the world.
That was the Staple Singers, and
Wait in the Water.
We're gonna head out with a little Bob Marley. Before that, we'd like to thank our listeners.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for calling.
And Janet.
Thanks for not calling.
We miss you, and we'll see you soon.